Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. And when I say in-depth, I'm talking deep. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. They also have details about local schools with test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
My mission is simple: to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
Hey, I'm Kramer. Welcome to Mad Money. Welcome to Kramerica. The people make friends, but try to make you some money. My job is not just to entertain, but to educate and teach you. So call me at 1-800-743-CBC or tweet me at Jim Cramer. This market, what can I say? It's got a real keen eye for the obvious. It feels like you can just buy the news and consistently make easy money, including today, with the Dow rolling up 104 points, S&P edging up just 0.09%, NASDAQ advanced 0.07%. Now, historically, you had to buy before something good happens and then sell into the news. Smart money always loaded up and crushed bids when stories broke, often leading to big losses for anyone who bought the news. I should say anyone uninformed enough to buy the news. Not this market, though. The new pattern is insane. If you got experience, it works against you. That's right, because it's making fortunes for the newcomers, for the new people who are investing. And I salute it. Let me give you some examples. They're classic. Okay, let's start with Nucor. That's the nation's best and largest steelmaker. Now, we own this one for the Charitable Trust. We've written bulletin after bulletin about how Nucor could be a big winner from the passage of any infrastructure bill. But the stock's been very tough to own. And if you tried to trade it, you got clobbered. Now, I've been defending Nucor as the best and cheapest way to play a recovery in auto sales and construction. I didn't even bother thinking about the infrastructure bill anymore because analyst after analyst downgraded the stock, arguing that the good news on the infrastructure front was already baked in, so forget about it. These professionals would have been right if we had the same kind of institutionally dominated stock market that we've had for the past 20 years, but we don't. In the old days, once we found out that Congress had finally passed the infrastructure bill, you might have seen Nucor stock open up, say, a point or two before the heat-seeking sellers came in and lit up the buyers, taking furious profits. In the end, they might have blasted this thing down to below where it was a week ago. Oh, but this is a new market that's no longer totally dominated by big institutional money managers, not at all. Individual investors got the power. So when the bill actually passed, sellers were non-existent. Not since the opening, Nucor jumped 5 points. Now then, some selling came in, but rather than crushing the stock, more buyers came out to meet them, which is how Nucor ultimately finished the day up $4 or 3.6%. I got to tell you, I haven't seen anything like this individual investor movement since before the dot-com crash in 2000. It's been that long. Who's doing all the buying? I suspect it's you. The home gamers, or as they're derisively known on Wall Street, retail investors. Retail meaning nobody. Not on this show. Now the retail. You running circles around the professionals, and I salute you. See, Nucor was too obvious for the pros. Regular investors, the individual investors, they no doubt wanted to be sure the bill would actually pass before they pulled the trigger. Then they started buying hand over fist. And you know what? I don't even think they're finished. Then there are the rock stocks. Okay, this is a great story. These are the companies that make aggregates we need for road building, and I'm talking about Vulcan Materials and Martin Marietta. Now, these stocks have been going up ever since Biden won the election a year ago. Why? Because he campaigned heavily on infrastructure spending. I've tried to get people into these stocks, especially Martin Marietta. But I fell in the same trap as the so-called smart money. When Ward and I, the CEO of Martin Marietta, came on the show in late May, I was worried that the infrastructure bill was already baked into the stock, given that it's up roughly 29% year-to-date. Stones! So instead of the huge piece of federal legislation, I focused on state road building. I mean, who didn't know that the agri companies would make a fortune with the infrastructure bill? I say that like it's a rhetorical question. But there's a clear answer. The public didn't know. Now Vulcan and Martin Marietta are flying again to the point where they sell for 35 to 41 times earnings. These are companies that make rocks, for heaven's sakes, not metaverses. This morning when I got up to work out, I saw the Caterpillar was up 7 points. I couldn't believe my eyes. I went to go change out my contacts. I mean, didn't you have to buy Cat last week so you could sell the news today? No. These infrastructure plays all have too much follow-through. It's almost like, hey, I see the tractors and backhoe loaders and excavators. Let's buy some. Hey, it worked for Tesla, didn't it? Well, it's working for Cat. Not only that, it also works on Deere, because Deere has some backhoes. Remarkable. Hey, backhoes. Let's buy the stock. Now, it's not just infrastructure either. Look at AMD and NVIDIA, two of our favorite semiconductor stocks. Now, I've praised these companies forever. I think AMD will keep taking market share from Intel. I've been saying that since it was five. I see it as the preferred high-performance chipmaker. We own this one for the Chalmers Trust, and anyone who gets the bullets knows that we've been recommended because of a big product introduction that was coming out today. Then this morning, we learned that AMD won a big contract from Facebook to use its hyperscale chips. Now, that should not be a surprise if you've been following the story. But most people obviously weren't following the story, which is why the stock surged 10% today. As for NVIDIA, this is a $308 stock that we've been championing since the stock was in the 20s. Jumped another 10 bucks today. But get this. Tomorrow, CEO Jensen Huang will give his keynote. Now, this is perhaps the most important speech of any tech executive, maybe any CEO. If I'm right about how stocks keep winning on the obvious, then it literally will not be too late to buy NVIDIA stock tomorrow. In the past, the professionals would have annihilated anyone who stuck their head up to buy the stock. It's 136% run-up. I mean, come on. You can just see the pros mowing them down. Now, though, the home gamers are at the wheel. And they're being rewarded for owning great stocks like NVIDIA. Not flitting in and out of the mix every day. What else? We all know that international travel restrictions would soon be lifted, right? I mean, you and I both know that. We weren't quite sure when. The company most linked with international travel is American Express. Don't leave the country without it. I've watched the stock go up endlessly since it was reported, knowing that much of the rally was about people who recognized that pretty soon the White House is going to lift restrictions. They expected a typical sell-the-news reaction once that occurred. Well, sure enough, buyers came flooding in today. The stock was up $3 on the removal of restrictions. Finally, the most obvious of the obvious, the electric vehicle and charging station plays that are subsidized by the bill. Now, we saw the stocks of companies with attractive electric vehicles run into the infrastructure bill passage the whole time. Think Lucid and Fisker. Take a look. They were up almost every day in the last 2 weeks. Doesn't matter which charging station name you bought going to the weekend. They were all rallying, and then they all rallied big again today. Honestly, I would ring the register in the charging station plays because the subsidies are so far away. But I hesitate to name them because their stocks will probably keep boring, making any profit takers look like idiots in the short term. So let's put it all together. Whenever you hear about the myriad professional money managers who are underperforming the market, it's because they think everything good is too obvious, everything like this. So they end up betting against these stocks. They're probably short every single one of these companies. Every name. But the bottom line. The professionals keep being wrong because these new buyers aren't used to the cynical trading ways of Wall Street and retail that they can pick off. These new individual investors, the home gamers, they hear good news, they buy good news. It's a new world, more straightforward, less pessimistic. And you ignore this optimism at your own peril. Can we go to Shari in California? Shari.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Sharon.
First of all, thank you so much for everything you do for us here, for your insight into the market.
Thank you.
My question to you is regarding Western Alliance Bank. It's a bank that the stock price has gone from $44 at the beginning of the year to $124. It's trading almost three times book value. Would you say it's a hold? Buy more or take some profit?
I think three times book is a lot to pay. For the trust, we own Wells Fargo. I'll tell you the truth. At this price, I'd rather own Wells Fargo than with Western Alliance. Thank you for those kind words. Thank you very much. Can we go to Ann in Arizona? Ann.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for all you do for the individual investor.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you.
I own Pinterest, and it hit a high of $89.90 this year, and now it's back down to $46.55.
Right.
Should I hold, sell, or buy more?
I would actually like you to hold it. I think that Pinterest is good. I now see that given the fact that PayPal's down so much tonight, that one of the reasons why they had to be interested in something in Pinterest was they needed the growth. And Pinterest has it. I would stay long that stock. And if it drops any more, I would buy it. Let's go to Peggy in Georgia. Peggy.
Yes, hello.
Peggy, how are you?
Fine. I'm calling about 3M stock.
Okay.
I started buying it in 2005. And it kept going up $240, and now it's back down to $180. It doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Can you
right.
tell me why? What's wrong with it?
Well, it's had a couple of setbacks. It's got a lot of raw costs that are going up. It has a problem with groundwater. But it's a very inexpensive stock now. It's got a 3% yield. It's still a dividend aristocrat. I would not abandon the stock here. But I know there are many stocks that are going higher, and it probably makes you feel like you're in the wrong one. But I'm telling you, I think it's fine to own right here. All right. The new buyers just aren't as cynical as the traditional Wall Street players. It's more straightforward world for them. Ignore the optimism at your own risk. Old Man Money tonight with the new CEO at the helm. Is the Container Store ready to organize your home and your portfolio? I'm checking in with the company's top brass after last week's report. Then Rivian, the Amazon and Ford-backed EV startup, is gearing up to make its public debut. But with so many public players in the electric vehicle space, how does this one stand out from the crowd? I'm cruising through the company ahead of its IPO. Then there are no EV plays without a solid set of tires. So I'm talking to the head of one of the largest players, certainly in America, Goodyear, to see what could be on the horizon for the company. They don't do many interviews, so it'll be very exciting. And so I suggest you stay with Cramer.
Don't miss a second of Mad Money. Follow at Jim Cramer on Twitter. Have a question? Tweet Cramer. Hashtag Mad Tweets. Send Jim an email to madmoney@cnbc.com or give us a call at 1-800-743-CNBC. Miss something? Head to madmoney.cnbc.com.
Fact. Running a business is not getting easier on your wallet. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. Also a fact. Smart businesses are reducing costs and headaches by graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You can cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See how you'll profit with NetSuite, and then you can think of all the ways you could be spending the money you save. Company retreat in Malibu, anyone? By popular demand, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com to start saving.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Mad Money. Just go to Indeed.com/Mad Money right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Mad Money. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Don't be too quick to give up on the so-called COVID stocks. Some of them can keep working. Even as we round the corner on the pandemic, consider the case of the Container Store. Here's a stock that exploded higher as millions of Americans decided to spend more time and money organizing their homes because, well, they had nowhere else to go. And that's why the stock rallied from $1.80 in March of 2020 to $19 and change in March of this year. But as people started getting vaccinated in droves, the Container Store stock rolled over, with its stock pulling all the way back to the high single digits last month. Then last week, the company reported a magnificent quarter, We're talking about a huge top and bottom line beat, 11% sales growth, very profitable in spite of some very tough comparisons. Plus, the guidance was the holidays was fantastic. In response, the stock jumped up nearly 20% just last Wednesday. But even after this move, it's still selling for barely more than 10 times earnings. So could this thing have more upside? Let's check in with Satish Malhotra. He is the new president and CEO of the Container Store, who joins us in his first broadcast interview since taking over in February. Mr. Malhotra, welcome to Mad Money.
Thank you, Jim. Great to be here.
All right. So, Satish, tell us what brought you to the Container Store. You have an unbelievable background, could have worked anywhere. Why this? Tell us.
Well, there's quite a few reasons why I joined the Container Store. I think first and foremost, the culture is unbelievable at the Container Store. We've got seven foundational values that really help us ensure we do the right thing. Everybody lives those values, and you can really see the passion, the resilience, the excitement in the stores through the service that we provide. So culture is really important to me. I enjoyed that at 21 years at Sephora, and it really attracted me to the Container Store. And then the second reason I would say it's the unique value proposition that the Container Store brings. There's not many retailers that I know that not only dedicate almost 10,000 SKUs to organization and storage needs, whether it's in the home office area or pantry, kitchen, garage, you name it, we have it, but also has a unique custom closet business. It's an affordable Alpha line, which really our customers love and has the test of time. It's a modular system that grows with the different milestones that our customers care to enjoy over their lifetime, all the way up to our luxurious Laren business, which is what you see behind me. This is our Laren, exclusive Laren line that we carry. It's a customized wood-based system, and I got it done for my office, and it looks spectacular, as well as my
friend. Let me just stop you there for a second. Did you say wood? Is that
it's
wood?
A wood-based system.
Because a lot of people feel there's too much plastic in Container Store. You're talking about a wood custom-made project. Maybe just turn around for a second, because it's obvious. We don't in Zoom, no one ever does anything. So this is great. Okay, so you're saying that was custom-made, and that I could have custom-made, not just the CEO.
Absolutely. We offer it to all of our customers. You can go all the way from our metal-based system, which is our Alpha unit, all the way to our wood-based system through Laren. You know, but I tell you, the big difference here outside of our custom closet line is also our in-home services, right? We have an opportunity to not only design this, what you see behind me in your homes, but we also have in-home organizers that help you understand how best to put your system together. And I think that's been a transformational moment. As I've experienced it firsthand, I have almost 17 different spaces built throughout my house. And the game changer for me, where I was able to truly experience this transformational moment of organization and storage, is when someone helped me understand how best to organize. You know, I'd make runs to Costco and I'd buy a lot of product, and I didn't know how best to organize them. And with the help of my organizer, she really put forth a system that works for me. And to this day, 4 months in, we still have a unique system. So it's like once you unclutter, you cannot go back.
All right. Well, I like that. That's why I like I take the clutter bug quiz. Now that and you have a lot of different organizational people. Now, is this because people themselves don't know how to get organized? I mean, we weren't taught it. I mean, why? I mean, I'm trying to figure out the total addressable market of people who need help being organized.
You know, I think, well, the addressable market that we've seen is $20 billion, but I think it's far greater than that. Because as you rightly say, there are a lot of folks that just don't know how to organize. It's not something you're taught. And I think people are struggling. They know and they tell us all the time that they don't like the way that they're living their lifestyle. They can't find things. They end up spending a lot of money because of overpurchasing. And I think once you understand the powers of organization and how freeing it can be, how you're able to really improve your productivity, your emotional well-being, you know, even saving money where you stop wasting product, it can be that changing. And so people are looking for solutions. They're like, help me understand the method. Help me understand what products I can use. And once they've experienced it, it is very much life-changing. It is a transformational moment, as we call it. We have over 10.5 million POP members, and they tell us daily how the Container Store has really helped them improve their lifestyle.
Okay, so are we in a situation where these various issues that people have in terms of labor costs going up, in terms of supply chain, do you have those under control?
Yeah, I mean, like most retailers, you know, we're not immune to price increases of raw materials and transportation costs. But, you know, we have an amazing planning and supply chain team, and they work extremely hard to understand how best to navigate these choppy waters. And there's certain things that we can do that we can control pricing. So we've pulled back a bit on our promotional cadence, really bringing to life a lot of discovery moments in our stores. And that's what I think our customers have really come to appreciate. We see it in our NPS scores at 78. And our customers tell us they love to be able to finally discover these great products that we have in our stores. So we put a lot of specialists now, trained specialists on the selling floor to help our customers make the most out of their projects, make the most out of their spaces. We have a front of store presentation that invites excitement, that you can play with the product and understand what we have to offer. I think those things have really helped us move away from the promotional cadence and bring about an air of excitement in our stores. And you see it in our numbers.
All right. Well, that's what we need to see. I know that this was the most profitable quarter that you've had, and I think you guys are on the right path. And it's great to have you on the show. That's Satish Malhotra. He's the president and CEO of The Container Store. Thank you, sir, for coming on Mad Money.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Inexpensive stock, only 10 times earnings. Seems to have a lot going for it. I want you to take a look. Mad Money's back after the break.
It's set to be one of the largest IPOs in history. But should investors put the pedal to the metal or hit the brakes on Rivian? Kramer's getting behind the wheel and giving his take next.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This market now, it's become flooded with IPOs. It's ridiculous. We've had more than 400 deals this year, and that's not even counting all the SPAC mergers. You know, last week alone, there were 15 traditional IPOs. We've got 11 more scheduled for this week. I've said it before. When the deals won't stop like it is right now, every IPO is guilty until proven innocent. There's so much garbage that you need to exercise a degree of skepticism, especially because the Wall Street promotion machine is very good at hyping them up, and there's so much money being made. However, occasionally, there's an IPO that's genuinely enticing here, even if the stock might end up being too expensive once it comes public. And this week, we've got one of the most eagerly anticipated deals of the year, Rivian Automotive. That's the electric truck maker that's expected to come public on Wednesday, which is why we wanted to profile it today for you. To many investors, Rivian looks like the second coming of Tesla. And that's why the underwriters have already been forced to raise the price range, take it from 57 to 62 level, all the way to 72 to 74. Given that the company plans to offer 135 million shares, we're talking about a $9.85 billion fundraise. which would make this the sixth or seventh largest IPO in U.S. history. Now, the Tesla analogy also explains Rivian's sky-high implied valuation. At the midpoint of the price range, this would be a roughly $63 billion company. It's a brand-new company here. Brand-new stock. 63. And given that these highly anticipated IPOs often spike dramatically right out of the gate, the actual valuation could be even larger. If Rivian can trade up to $80, then it's a $70 billion company. If it goes to $90, it's a $79 billion company, which would mean it has a similar market capitalization to Ford Motor. If Rivian goes to $100, it's bigger than GM. Of course, we used to hear these comparisons all the time when Tesla was all on the way up. But now that Tesla's a $1.2 trillion company that's left the rest of the auto industry in the dust, nobody cares. Now, there's a widespread sense that you can't judge the electric vehicle plays by the same yardstick as the traditional automakers, right? I mean, it would make no sense. But, and there's a very big but here, we can say that about Tesla because Tesla's delivered, even if the stock got hit today because Elon Musk has decided to ring the register, a big chunk of stock in response to a Twitter poll. I voted in favor of that. But you know what? It's everybody has free choice, right? Everyone's allowed to vote. Now, let me put it this way. Tesla's on track to make nearly a million cars this year. 1 million. Keep that number in mind. Rivian, on the other hand, is still in its infancy. And as of October, they've only delivered 156 vehicles. Yep. 156 electric pickup trucks. And most of those went to their employees. So we obviously have a size difference. So has Wall Street lost its mind? Legitimate question. Are money managers really willing to value a company that barely has a product at more than $60 billion? Or is Rivian the real deal? Okay, before we get into specifics, you need to know that Rivian isn't just some fly-by-night electric vehicle story that came out of nowhere. Uh-uh. This company has some real heavy hitters as backers. That's where we're going to evaluate. If you want to know why there's so much excitement for the story, why so many people are willing to believe that Rivian could be the next Tesla, it's because both Amazon and Ford Motor were early investors, and they've continued to pour money into this thing. After the deal, Amazon's going to own about 19% of Rivian's shares. One of the senior vice presidents sits on Rivian's board of directors, and they've also placed an order for 100,000 of Rivian's electric vans. More on that in a minute. Plus, it's possible Amazon will actually buy more stock in the IPO, which point it could end up owning more than 20% of the business. You don't often see Amazon throwing money at electric vehicle plays, and these guys aren't stupid. But obviously, Amazon doesn't have any experience in the auto industry. Which brings me to the other major backer, Ford. After the deal, Ford will own 12% of Rivian. Now, that's a $7.5 billion stake, assuming the stock does nothing right out of the gate. Now, this one's interesting because Ford's only an $80 billion company, so that stake is very meaningful for them. More importantly, Ford plans to launch electric pickup trucks and commercial vans next year, which will make them a direct competitor to Rivian. Getting this kind of tacit endorsement from a competitor is a huge acknowledgement. Will Ford sell its Rivian stock to build its own gigafactories for apps for batteries and the like? We just don't know. But I would ring the register and redeploy if I were Ford CEO Jim Farley. Why fund the competition? So what does Ford, what do they see in this thing? At first glance, this is a company that only just launched its first consumer vehicle. That's a five-seat passenger pickup truck. In September, that just came out. As of last week, they've only produced 180 of those things in total. But they're now ramping production of that pickup truck, and they've got an electric SUV coming next month. On the commercial side, they're working on an electric delivery van, the one Amazon's putting a huge order for. Again, though, this thing is still in its infancy. By the end of the year, Rivian only plans to have delivered 10 of these vans. Jeez. What about orders? All right, on the consumer side, they've got 55,400 orders for the pickup truck and the SUV. And those are real orders where customers have put down a $1,000 deposit. Okay, that's not just like, hey, I'd like one. Rivian expects to fill the current backlog by the end of 2023. On the commercial side, they've already got an order for 100,000 vans for Amazon, which is really incredible. That order can carry the entire commercial business for years. Believe me, I bet you Amazon would take every vehicle that Rivian makes. Rivian currently has a factory in Illinois. It's quick to make 150,000 vehicles a year when it's fully up and running. But they don't expect that to happen until late 2023. Which brings us back to that initial question. Can we really justify a $62 billion valuation for such an early stage company which begins trading Wednesday? Given that they've only just launched their first vehicles, you can't really judge this one based on the financials, can you? What about the production forecast? All right, based on some back-of-the-envelope math, Rivian's consumer business has the capacity to produce $4.5 billion worth of pickup trucks and SUVs per year. All right? On the commercial side, we don't have a price for these vans, and we have to assume Amazon's getting some kind of bulk discount. But even with that, I've got to figure that they have the capacity to make $3.4 billion worth of vans per year. So let's go over this. By our rough estimates, Rivian can do $8 to $9 billion in sales with its current installed capacity. In that case, a $62 billion valuation would mean the stock's trading at 7 or 8 times its future sales. Now, keep in mind, It'll take a couple years before they can produce that many vehicles, even if they already have the machinery in place. But while it's easy to sketch out the story of Rivian becoming the next Tesla, it's very difficult to actually ramp up production like this. We forget, we really do, but Tesla struggled a lot before the company became a well-oiled machine. Producing electric vehicles at scale is tough. There's a reason even the major automakers have taken much longer than expected to launch their own electrics. Plus, even if everything goes right for Rivian, this industry's getting, you know, a little crowded here, right? When Tesla was starting out, there was nobody else. But Rivian's got Ford's F-150 Lightning hot on its heels, along with GM's electric Hummer, and even Tesla's Cybertruck. Of course, in this crazy market, I could see Rivian stocks soaring, even though the valuation is insane. The people buying this thing won't care about valuation anymore than they care about it with Tesla. Bottom line, if you really believe in Rivian, you got my blessing to speculate. But I'd much prefer to stay on the sidelines and get my electric vehicle exposure from the Ford Motor Company, which is why we own such a big position for the Chattel Trust. And it's just set still one more new high today. Mark in Florida. Mark.
Hi, Jim. It's a pleasure to speak with the man who so generously shares his knowledge and time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you. What's up?
I really have to thank you for some great recommendations like AMD, Unity, and Big Five, and they've been tremendous for me.
Oh, thank you.
All right. My question is about Lithia Motors. About 2 weeks ago, Lithia reported a huge earnings beat and very positive guidance. The company is expanding rapidly, continuing to buy new dealerships. The stock soared up about $40, then came down during the day to only up about $5, and by the close of the following day, it was below the price from before the earnings report. The stock price seems to have stagnated. What's your outlook for both the short and long term?
Well, I think a lot of the companies that sell used cars have been stalled because they can't get enough inventory. But I think that that Brian DeBoer, who lives in Ashland, Oregon, and Lithia, is a winner. And he's adding to his dealerships around the country. I think that stock's a buy, even though you may have to wait a little bit. All right, now listen. If you're a ride-or-die Rivian fan, then you have my blessing to speculate. But I prefer to get my EV exposure from Ford. Now, much more man money, including my exclusive Goodyear tire. It's completed its nearly $3 billion acquisition of Cooper early this year. Could the stock be poised to cruise higher? It's very inexpensive. Let's check with the CEO. Then Cramer fame Nextdoor hit the public markets earlier today. But this social media company has a competitive advantage that others in the space don't seem to have. And I'm going to reveal what it is. And all your calls rapid fire in tonight's edition of the Lightning Round. So stay with Cramer. Should you let supply chain worries and raw costs scare you away from some of the better auto and auto-related stocks? Now, judging by the incredible quarter that Goodyear Tire and Rubber reported last week, the answer is a definitive no. Thanks to its recent acquisition of Cooper Tire, another company I like, Goodyear has taken over the industry, and they're practically printing money. The last four quarters have all come in much better than expected, but last Friday they posted a magnificent 43-cent earnings beat. Yeah, beat, off a 29-cent basis. That sent the stock soaring from 21 to 24 in a single session, although it pulled back a hair about more than a buck today. The analysts keep underestimating Goodyear, and they underestimate the management, too. And until they raise their estimates accordingly, I think this one keeps going higher. Do not take it from me. Let's dig deeper with Rich Cramer, no relation, the chairman and CEO of the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, to learn more about the quarter and what he sees going forward. Mr. Cramer, welcome back to Mad Money.
Hey, Jim, thank you for having me. Good to speak with you.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, you can correct me. This is the best quarter I've ever seen from your company.
Well, it's really been a tremendous one, Jim. I got to agree with you. I'm so proud of the team. You said some of it. We gained market share. Our sales were up 42%, up to $5 billion. Volume up 32%. We had the highest price mix that we've had in nearly a decade. And in addition to that, we raised the synergy target that we had from the Cooper transaction. So I got to agree with you, Jim.
All right. Now, you don't get to raise price and have that share unless you're technologically beating the pants off the other guys. And that's true. That's what you're doing, isn't it?
Well, you know, there's great competitors out there, Jim. But again, I have to tell you, my team did a great job. And I think the quarterly performance speaks for itself, particularly the share number.
Well, let's talk about the intelligent tire. I mean, I love this concept. I mean, tires have been tires for too long, sir.
Well, you know, Jim, I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, tire intelligence is really the next step of what we have to do to contribute to this whole new mobility ecosystem that's emerging. And we have this technology called Sightline by Goodyear. And essentially, Jim, with the sensor in that tire, we can measure not only pressure and temperature, but also wear and load and ultimately friction. Marry that with the tire data we have and the proprietary algorithms we have, and actually starting to predict performance of what will happen to the vehicles those tires are on. That's really exciting. And Jim, if I could say, you know, I watched a show this morning, you know, early on, Brian had Gaddick on, and that
yes.
AV vehicle, tires are so important to that. We're actually working with them, have a small investment in them as well as part of our corporate venture capital fund. And you also had a major U.S. company on that you asked them about their transportation fleet. And those are the type of technologies that we have that's going to help them achieve their performance and sustainability goals with those intelligent tires.
And there, I'm hoping we're talking about Tesla, which is, well, everybody who's, let's put it this way. Anybody's technologically inclined in the auto business likes yours. How's that? Is that fair?
Exactly.
All right. Now, let's talk about what you triumphed over, because this is rather incredible. You had much greater levels of retirement and turnover, and therefore more long-term hiring needs post-COVID. You talked about how it was difficult to increase production to pre-pandemic levels because of non-productive workers, which just means workers that are being trained. Richard, what's happening here? Tell me. Are people just not showing up to work? How can people just suddenly start retiring? How much money do they have that they can just decide one day they're going to retire?
Jim, I think it's a great question. And, you know, some of the COVID absences, I think we all understand, but we saw early on that the level of retirements was much higher than we traditionally had, and certainly than we expected. I'm not sure I have an answer for you, but what I can tell you, it's very real. You know, we still have difficulty with finding qualified workers out there. We have increased absenteeism. And as you said, as a result, we've had accelerated hiring. We have a lot of training going on. And of course, those make our factories a little bit less efficient and have a little bit higher cost. And Jim, I hate to say, but that's probably going to be with us as we get to Q4 and into 2022. I think it's a reality. And we're putting steps in place to make sure that we deal with that proactively to continue the performance that we've had.
Now, I these are difficult issues to combat. Plus, you have the car shortage because of the semiconductors. And yet you're still able to have this level of profitability. What would happen if things go right?
Well, you know, Jim, it's really a great point. And you know, the chip shortage has been all around us. We talk all the time. It's been really difficult to make predictions or forecasts on where that OE volume is going to be. We've actually been positioned pretty well on the fitments that we're on. So we're pleased with that. But forecasting is quite difficult. I'll tell you, though, there is a silver lining, and that's that it's allowed us, the OE volume shortage for us because of the chips has allowed us to really focus on that consumer replacement business. What right. that means is we're meeting our customer demand more robustly, and we're able to rebuild inventories. And I think the silver lining is we all know that those OE manufacturers are going to start building cars again. That means they're going to take care of those customers because of that robust demand, and they're going to rebuild inventories. So for us, we see that sort of extending the duration of this volume recovery that we've seen post-COVID. So there is a bit of a silver lining in there, I think.
All right. So, Rich, can we use that silver lining? I like that concept. Can we say that the U.S. is taking back its rightful place in tires?
Well, you know, Jim, I would like to say that, you know, as the last U.S. tire company, we're very proud of the progress that we've made. And, you know, you and I talked about it last time. We had the tariffs come in. And, you know, Jim, interestingly enough, versus 2019, actually imports are up a little bit. But from those four countries that were impacted by the tariffs, they're slightly down. And interestingly, if you look at it, their landed cost has actually gone up based on the math that we do about $40 a tire, 20%. And that really, is transportation, is certainly raw materials, but it's also those duties. And again, we monitor right. this closely. I think some of that's coming into the market. And that, you know, that's certainly helping us in the industry as well.
Rich, are the raw costs going to keep going up? Because it at a certain point, won't we run into some sort of resistance? We'll just keep the tires that we have?
You know, Jim, I do think that raws are going to go up, certainly in the fourth quarter and as we look to 2022 as well. We saw this very similar coming out of the Great Recession. We saw raws go up precipitously back then. You well remember $100 sure. oil, natural rubber was up to $2.65 a pound, if my memory's right. And as that happened, we were able to offset that with cost and price and mix. So I do think that at least in the near term, we might see a raws moving higher. And, you know, fourth quarter, we feel pretty good about where we're positioned with the price and mix that we're seeing as we get into 2022. You're right on. We're going to have to look for opportunities on price and mix to offset not only raw materials, but some of these other cost components. And Jim, we feel pretty good about the ability to put those programs in place.
Well, look, if you're feeling pretty good about it, I'm feeling pretty good about it. You have a very inexpensive stock and two great companies put together. Obviously, it's 2 + 2 = 5 from what I can tell, Rich. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Jim, thank you for having me. Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Rich Kramer has changed the stock, okay? He's changed the company. This is a company that we didn't really care all that much for on the show, but you get Cooper together with Goodyear with technology, and you've got a winner. Goodyear is one that you should be thinking about. Mad Money's back here for the break.
Just chill out.
Is this Chill Master J?
The Chill Man is in the house. He's happy.
The lightning round is coming up when Mad Money returns.
It is time! It's time for the lightning round! And then the lightning round is over. Are you ready? Keep that on the lightning round. It's over. Steven in Texas. Steven.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I am good.
Texas 10-gallon booyah to you.
Well, I'll take that. I'll take any 10-gallon at this point. What's going on?
Hey, Jim. I want to talk about MGM. Just want to know what you think selling the Mirage Hotel is going to do for their bottom line, into quite a bit of MGM in the mid and upper 30s. And where do you think the stock is going?
I like MGM. I think that they're doing the right thing. They're becoming more focused. It's got a lot of good management at the top. I think it's good. But tomorrow, Wynn reports. And Wynn, which my charitable trust owns, is going to determine the direction of MGM. And right now, if I can't tell you how good Wynn's going to be because I think it's the future that we like, not the past. How about Dave in Kansas? Dave.
Hey, booyah, Mr. Kramer.
Booyah.
Hey, I just want to say thanks for all you do for us little guys.
You're quite welcome.
Hey, I bought some of the migraine medication maker Biohaven Pharma about 18 months ago at 33. Okay. It's now almost 140. So what do I do now?
It reports, okay, after the close. I happen to like the company very much. I unfortunately had to take a Nurtec on Friday, which is their proprietary medicine. I would take out the house's money. That's what you should do. You should remove tomorrow all the stock that you take out as much to be equal to that 30, and then let it run. Because then you can't lose money because you're playing with house money. Let's go to Tyler in California. Tyler.
Hey, Jim.
Tyler.
How are you today?
I'm doing okay. How about you?
I'm all right. So I had a question about GoTo.
The $3 stuff. Look, China has kind of made that into a nonprofit. It's kind of a dice roll. And I can't offer any intelligence on it other than this pure speculation that the Chinese are going to let these companies go back the way they were. I don't think they're going to. Let's go to Matt in New York. Matt.
How are you doing, Mr. Kramer?
I am doing well, Matt. How about you?
Very good, thank you. I'm asking about British American Tobacco. It's a very diverse stock with very high yields. They purchased R.J. Reynolds back in January of 2021. They also came out with the Ebola vaccine, and they were the first to come out with the COVID vaccine in June of 2020.
Right, but I'm not gonna recommend a tobacco stock on the show. I'm grateful to have a show on the network, but one of the things I have to do is responsibility to say no. In the same way that I said we got to ban those darn, things that people use that I can't stand, which just drives me absolutely crazy, that hooked a whole new generation. Vapes. A whole new generation got hooked on this stuff. So, no, I'm not going there. Let's go to Ryan in Virginia, please. Ryan.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Ryan. Veterans Day right around the corner. Can I get a booyah for the Department of Veterans Affairs?
Of course. Booyah. Absolutely. What's up?
Now, I want to get your take on Alibaba. The stock seems very undervalued, and it feels like there's way too much risk priced in. It's not a good time to add to my position.
I know that people want me to recommend this stock, and I have felt that, look, if I say this is uninvestable, it probably will go to 180. It's how you feel like when you don't go to a game and it's the one game that they win. But I know that I don't want those 18 points. I know that sounds crazy. I can find another 18 points elsewhere, so I'm not going there. Let's go to Jack in New York. Jack.
Booyah, Kramer.
Booyah.
I'm following the stock MyTech.
Really?
Are you familiar? And your thoughts? Buy, sell, or hold?
I don't know. They got proprietary technology, recognition technology that I think is pretty cool. I've always liked the stock. I think it's got a good concept, so I'm going to say it's okay. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the conclusion of the Lightning Round.
The Lightning Round is sponsored by TD Ameritrade. Is it still cool to be kind? Nextdoor soared in its first day of trading, and Cramer's weighing in on the company's mission to make the web a little more neighborly. Next.
Jim Cramer, you're one of my heroes.
I look forward to your show every weeknight.
Thank you so much for helping beginning investors like me.
When you talk about the market, I just believe that you're spot on.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. Every night we watch you, I have learned and earned.
Today, kind triumphed over mean. We all know what mean is on the internet. It's the cruelest place on earth, from the constant anonymous bully on Twitter to the incitements to violence on Facebook. But then there's kind. Yes, K-I-N-D, the stock symbol for Nextdoor, which came public today via SPAC merger. Nextdoor is run by Sarah Friar, who came in after serving as the CFO of Square, some would say de facto CEO, and before that worked at Salesforce and Goldman Sachs. She took over Nextdoor, the neighborhood-based social media site, back when it was still a fledgling business that couldn't even accept checks for advertising. She's turned into a company that had $52.7 million in sales in the third quarter alone. That's up 66% year-over-year, accelerating revenue growth. They now have more than 60 million registered members and serve 280,000 neighborhoods around the globe, not just in the U.S. This morning, she explained to me the appeal of being kind, how Nextdoor wants to promote the spirit of being a good neighbor.
Our whole reason to be here is to cultivate a kinder world where everyone has a neighborhood to rely on. We think that's both good for the world and we think it's great for business, too.
Look, I've known Sarah ever since she schooled me way back when Square was $12. She told me to stop bashing the darn thing for potential credit losses and start recommending it because of its outsized potential for growth. I'm glad I took her advice. How could I not? She really just laid it out for me. And since then, Square's rallied 224 points. When she left Square, there was a ton of speculation about where she'd go next, and a lot of people were surprised that she chose Nextdoor. But Sarah grew up in Northern Ireland during the Troubles. And she was always struck by the way the Catholics in her neighborhood rallied around her family, even though they were Protestants. When a bomb went off and blew out their house's windows, the whole neighborhood turned out, not just the Protestants. Now she wants to spread that sense of community worldwide, something that's been sorely needed since the pandemic got rolling, as you know and I do. Nextdoor attracted a lot of people who needed help finding tests, figuring out safety protocols. The hybrid workforces continue to keep the emphasis on the home long after lockdown ended. Another huge positive for this company. Now, I know it's easy to highlight cruelty. As someone who covered homicide for a living for many years ago, I got to tell you, I'm acutely aware that the editors have an insatiable appetite for violent stories that can attract readers. And now we've got social media, which incentivizes verbal combat, with many of the algorithms directing traffic to the most incendiary posts. Whether we're talking Twitter or Facebook, most of the internet is a cruel, it's a carnival of cruelty. I suspect they'll never do anything to stop this because anger attracts more eyeballs. But as I see it, Nextdoor puts that notion to the test. Or to put it another way, like fences, good Nextdoor posts make good neighbors. Don't get me wrong. There's still plenty of heinous stuff on this platform, too, because every neighborhood has its share of horrible people. But the company's trying to take things in a kinder, gentler direction, and it's working. Now, I haven't liked many of these SPACs, as you know, because people have lost too much money in them. Nextdoor already rallied 17% today, which means you are chasing it if you buy it. But I think it's going to work. And Nextdoor's success in social media might cause the rest of the industry to rethink its approach. Maybe this is the first step toward cleaning up the wild west of anger, derision, and disappointment that makes up so much of the web these days. I'd like to say there's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to try to find it just for you, right here on Mad Money. I'm Jim Cramer. See you tomorrow. The news with Shepard Smith starts now.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night. No matter how chaotic your day is, conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.